Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At-Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At-Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
8 o'clock, Sports Radio 94 WIP. Joe Giglio with you. Tucker Bagley is behind the glass. You guys with us, 215-592-9494. That's how you hop aboard here. We'll get back into everything we've touched on, including the Eagles' defensive line, and I believe it is their ticket to contention this year. And I think this defense is way better than we thought, and I believe in it. And I think the Eagles' defense is going to carry them and keep them into contention all year long. Agree, disagree. We touched on some athletes that we respect but can't stand. Tom Brady being atop that list. His crybaby last night, can't shake Nick Foles' hands. And, of course, quarterbacks and what really matters in terms of wins, losses, and late in games, what really matters. We'll get back to all of that. And, of course, we got to go to our buddy right now, Wes Euler, ESPN Pittsburgh, also Steelers Nation Radio. He used to be here with us at WIP. Now he's doing big things out in Pittsburgh, and this was a good week to bring him on. Wes, how you doing, buddy?
What's up, Joe G? I'm excited to catch up with you here, and I'm looking forward to a little Keystone State banter.
Yes, well, it's going to be fun. We get the Eagles and Steelers on Sunday. And Wes, let's start here, and then we'll get to the game and all the important things. So what's going on with fans out there? We don't have them here yet. We're waiting to find out if that could happen soon. But we're going to see some fans in the stands. How many? What kind of numbers are we talking about for Sunday against the Steelers?
Yeah, so it looks like a little over 5,000. Steelers are allowed to have 7,500 people in attendance, but that obviously includes both teams, the players, all the coaches, you know, the training staffs, all of that. So, and I would think as well, too, the additional stadium security and concession people and bathroom attendants, whatever, that come with having fans in the stands, ushers for the sections to show people to their seats. So it'll be 7,500 people, but 5,500 of those will be fans. I know it's all season ticket holders. It's all from a lottery standpoint. Like, I think the Steelers had close to 18 or 19,000 season ticket holders who still opted in this year to potentially go to games if that was an option. And so I believe it's a lottery system from there. And, yeah, so a little over 5,000 people. I don't think it'll do much in terms of noise or atmosphere, but it should be nice to maybe just a sense of normalcy, right? Maybe kill some of that awkward silence from time to time on TV.
Yeah, and it is awkward sometimes when you hear it. Wes Euler, ESPN Pittsburgh, joining us. All right, Wes, let's talk about the Steelers. How good is this team? They're 3-0. And I believe they haven't gone 4-0 in a very long time. So this would be it's a mile marker kind of game. You go 4-0, you're probably head into the playoffs, even if you fall off a little bit. It's a big game for them from that perspective. But how good are they? We didn't get to watch them last weekend. They were out of nowhere bye because of everything with the Titans and COVID. Is this a great team? Is it a good team? What do you think?
Joe, I'm going to go with good team right now. And it does stink that we missed out on that Titans game last week because I had kind of been looking at that as the litmus test. Right, for the Steelers. Like, I felt like the Titans were another team that's in that good category. They were 3-0, but they were giving up a ton of points and a ton of yards. I was really interested. Again, I kind of felt that was a litmus test for the Steelers on offense to put up points. And then, you know, of course, for the defense against Derrick Henry and all the things they're capable of. So I do think this is a good team. I still have my first tier in the AFC is the Chiefs and the Ravens. And then I think the Steelers are kind of in that second group, right? I'd throw the Bills up there as well, too. Maybe the Titans. So good. The verdict is still out on great, but I think you can check some of the boxes. The defense has looked outstanding just like last year, still forcing turnovers, still until they had the unexpected bye week last week. The Steelers had the most sacks in the league, so kind of picked up right where they left off on defense last year. And then Ben Roethlisberger's elbow, right? That was a big question on offense. And he's thrown some deep passes to Chase Claypool, one of them 58 air yards right on the dime. So I think some of that concern is gone. So some of the big question marks, can the defense carry over that momentum from last year? Is Roethlisberger back healthy? Those are looking so far so good. And so maybe we're starting to lean towards, okay, this team could potentially be great. But I just need to see them beat somebody first, Joe.
Well, that's the thing. That's been a part of the talking point here this week is they really haven't beat anybody. I mean, they took out the Giants, who are terrible. The Broncos were on a backup quarterback at that point. I didn't think very good anyway. And then a Houston team that obviously has Deshaun Watson, but they're winless and were about to fire their coach the week later. So the competition level has not been there yet. When you look at it from that perspective, do you kind of qualify it and say, hey, yeah, they're good, but how good is Ben right now until he sees a great defense? And you know what? The Eagles are struggling. We'll talk about that, Wes. But the Eagles' pass rush has 17 sacks. They're right up there with the Steelers. I feel like it's going to be a good test for Ben and those receivers if they can score on the Eagles.
Oh, 100%. I talked about that a lot today. This is by far the biggest test of the season for the Steelers' offensive line. Giants, Broncos, Texans. There's some good individual pass rushers in there, right? Dexter Lawrence, J.J. Watt, Bradley Chubb with the Broncos. But nothing like what the Eagles are going to throw at the Steelers. They did get Dave DeCastro back for that Texans game, Joe, and that's going to be huge, obviously, with the interior of that Eagles defensive line. So talented, so much pedigree there. It's a good thing DeCastro is back and healthy and ready to go because they've had a lot of moving parts on that offensive line early. And I know I'm preaching to the choir here when I'm talking to Philly about moving parts on the offensive line. But a lot of different groups that they've used already just through three games, but it feels like they've gotten some reinforcements there. And so, yeah, if you know, I was saying I thought last week was the real litmus test with the Titans. I still think there's a lot that the Steelers can take from this game as it relates to the Eagles. Certainly how the offensive line and Ben perform against that front. And I think Darius Slay is going to be a big test too. That's kind of the thing that I'm most interested in. Does he lock down Juju? Do they maybe move him around with whatever Steelers wide receiver seemingly has the hot hand? Because I think Darius Slay is going to win his matchup, but behind that should be a good test for the other Steelers wide receivers as well. Young but talented, they'll have some opportunities to make some plays. So, yeah, I think you're right. Maybe the more that we're talking this out here, it is still a good litmus test for the Steelers in a lot of ways, you know, albeit against a team who hasn't won a ton of games, but I guess is technically first in their division, right?
Yeah, well, it's the worst division in football. But, yeah, we're holding on to that right now. Wes Euler, ESPN Pittsburgh, Steelers Nation Radio joining us. Wes, I want to get your thoughts on Carson Wentz, what people are saying in Pittsburgh about him, and your thoughts. Like, you were here with us in Philadelphia when he first got drafted and started to emerge, and you made your way out to Western Pennsylvania, and his career has taken a million different turns. Wes, here's how I felt about him coming to the year. He's not close to great. He's a talented player. He has had a good career, but I just am not sold he's ever going to get back to greatness. And then the first four games this year, he has been bad. I don't know what is going on, whether it's physical or mental. He's been bad for four games. What is kind of the outside view, but certainly you have more of an inside view than a total outside view, of Carson Wentz right now? Like, is he the guy? Is he a guy that Steelers fans this week are saying, oh, Carson Wentz is coming in? Or is it, yeah, the worst-rated quarterback in the NFL is coming into play us?
Maybe somewhere in between. And to be transparent here, Joe, I don't know if you'll like this because, you know, I was listening to your guys Once and For All week back during, you know, mass quarantine. And I know where you stand on this side of the conversation. But I do get accused by a lot of my coworkers, a lot of people within the Pittsburgh media of being a Carson Wentz apologist, of being a Carson Wentz sympathizer. And I think you just touched on why, right? I was there in 2017-18 when, if he doesn't blow out his knee in L.A., he's the MVP of the National Football League. I saw him, you know, up close doing all those great things. And I think people in Pittsburgh for a long time really thought, wow, I mean, this guy's special. There's a lot of Ben Roethlisberger traits there, but with maybe more athleticism. But you're right. I mean, it's been weird for me. Obviously, I'm not as in tune with the Eagles anymore now that I'm, you know, doing radio out here and I'm part of the broadcast crews on game days for the Steelers. And so you know how much of that chunk of time that eats up for you on Sundays. But for me, it feels like, man, he's still talented, but there's a lot of little things that are adding up to be the proverbial straw that's breaking the camel's back, right? He's just a little inaccurate. Maybe he's holding on to the ball a little too long. And then you combine that with the offensive line and a lack of talent at wide receiver. I think it's just been a perfect storm of crap for Carson Wentz, right? And I think a lot of people in Pittsburgh kind of have that same mentality. Going into this season, there was a lot of, yeah, Dak is better than Wentz. Dak is better than Wentz, which I know is always a big talking point in Philly. People in Pittsburgh were saying that. But I think now, kind of like you just alluded to, people are looking at that conversation saying, man, like, are either of these guys going to reach the potential that we thought they might have been capable of a year ago, 2 years ago, et cetera.
Yeah, and I don't think they are. I mean, I really don't. I think that as more time goes on, it's more evidence going the other way. And on the other side, it's amazing, Wes. And I'm excited to watch Ben on Sunday just because I've always been fascinated by Ben Roethlisberger. Like, he doesn't look the part, and yet he acts the part, he plays the part, and he still is. Like, he's quarterback Frankenstein. He's still going, still on a winning team, and he's the definition of a guy. It doesn't look pretty, Wes, but he does the job. What have you seen physically so far? I watched the Monday night game. I guess it was week one. They were the standalone game early, so I watched a lot of that, and he looked fine, but you've watched every snap so far. Does he look like he's still got enough? I mean, he's an old man, a big man coming off of surgery. How's he look?
You know, Joe, like I said, the elbow strength was the big question, right? Because, I mean, you got a 38-year-old guy coming off a major elbow surgery, his throwing arm where he had three different tendons in his elbow operated on. I think that was the big question. You've seen downfield connections with James Washington. I mentioned he threw it 58 air yards on a dime to Chase Claypool for an 84-yard touchdown pass. I think that's helping with some of those concerns. But I would also say, too, Joe, early on in the season, they have put an onus on him getting rid of the ball very quickly. I mean, it's almost been Tom Brady-esque, right, during his best times with the Patriots, where the Steelers brought in Matt Canada. He was a really accomplished offensive coordinator and head coach from college football. He had been with Pitt when they had their success with James Conner. He was with Maryland. He was with LSU, a really innovative offensive mind from the college ranks. The Steelers hire him this year. They've done a lot more pre-snap motion, which they were bottom of the league at throughout most of Ben Roethlisberger's career. Now they're in the top five. They've done a lot more play action. They were bottom of that most of Ben Roethlisberger's career. Now they're running at top 10 in the NFL. I think all these things designed to give Ben more time, to give more misdirection, to make the defense with a lot of this pre-snap motion show their hand as to, okay, what type of coverage are you in? Is it zone? Is it man? And then Ben operates from there, and it's been 1.5, 2 seconds at most, and the ball's been out. And so I do think Chase Claypool becoming more of a downfield threat, and as Ben starts to get his feet under him a little bit more, because he's admitted too, like, he's been nervous to go out there after missing so much time and after such a crazy offseason with so little work. So I do think they'll start to expand that playbook a little bit more. But the Steelers, Joe, are the only team in the NFL, I don't know if you knew this, that hasn't scored 30 or more points this season. That's not because they haven't had the opportunities. In their last two games, in fact, they've knelt down. They've gone victory formation in the other team's red zone, so they could have easily scored again. I think it's more about they know how good this defense is. They're trying to work Big Ben back up to speed, and he just needs to be good enough. With this defense and with the weapons that he has, if he's a B+, the Steelers are going to be able to win a lot of games. They don't need to have the Antonio Brown and Lev Bell era, right, where they were scoring 30, 35 points every game. You score 24, you score 27, you keep Ben upright. You let this defense do what they do, and you're going to have a chance to win every single football game you play.
Yeah, well, based on the way the Eagles' offense has played this year, Wes, if the Steelers get to 24 or 27, it's probably going to be another win for the Steelers on Sunday. Last one for you, Wes. Mike Tomlin has been there forever. I've always been impressed with him as a coach, and I think it's interesting because here, Doug Peterson is in year five. He already has a championship. He's made the playoffs 3 years in a row. But, like, we're going through a little bit of that fatigue here where people are starting to say, well, maybe it's Doug's fault. Maybe they need a change. Maybe Carson needs a change. It's rare what they've had out in Pittsburgh. I mean, Pittsburgh's had it. Baltimore's had it. Obviously, New England with Belichick. But what's the temperature on Mike Tomlin out there? Good coach, but it's not like they've been, you know, close to a title in a while now. Is Tomlin still very popular out in Pittsburgh? Questions about him? What do people say about Tomlin?
It's a very polarizing question around these parts, Joe. He has the people that point out that he's been at the helm for 13 seasons and he's never had a losing year. And he even did that last year, right? Ben Roethlisberger goes down and the Steelers go 8-6 last year with Mason Rudolph and Duck Hodges. But then you'll have the people on the other side who will say, but in the last decade they have 3 playoff wins and that's it. And look at the Eagles and look at the Ravens and look at some of these other teams in the playoff games they've won over the last few years. We've had 3 playoff wins in a decade. So there's the real juxtaposition there of the portion of the fan base that values the continuity, values the consistency, values a coach who, again, 13 years in the NFL has never had a losing season, something that's so hard to do. And then you have a lot of Steelers fans who, I mean, let's face it, Joe, the slogan in Pittsburgh, right, is the standard is the standard, and that's because the Steelers have such high expectations among the fan base. So there are a lot of people, too, who would happily see Mike Tomlin fired and replaced tomorrow will be calling for his head if the Steelers don't win a playoff game or two this year, or God forbid if they get a wild card and the Ravens win the division again. So it's a very polarizing topic. He's certainly got his group of big-time supporters here in Pittsburgh, but like I said, he's got a lot of people who point out only three playoff wins in the last decade. That's been with the Hall of Fame quarterback. Look at all the talent they've had on offense and defense. And like I said, a lot of people who would gladly see him replaced. So I do think this is a big year for him in that regard. Last year did, like I said, going 8-6 without Ben Roethlisberger, I think, bought him some time. But the Steelers definitely need to win a playoff game this year, or else I think some of that noise will get louder. Now, I don't think Mike Tomlin's ever really in danger of getting fired. That's just not what the Steelers do. They stuck by Bill Cowher with three straight losing seasons. Mike Tomlin hasn't had one yet. But just in terms of the temperature check, the pressure from the fan base, I do think it's important that the Steelers at least win a playoff game this season in regards to Mike Tomlin.
Yeah, it's interesting. Wes, appreciate you hopping on. I'm happy for your success out there. Keep it up and enjoy the game Sunday. I think it's close, and I have fears that in the fourth quarter, Bud Dupree knocks the ball to Carson's hand, and that changes the game. Enjoy the game, Wes.
Thanks, Joe G. Always a pleasure.
There he goes. Wes Euler out in ESPN Pittsburgh. Used to be here at WIP with us. How about that? How about half the fans at Pittsburgh don't like Mike Tomlin?
I don't like Mike Tomlin.
Personally?
No, I mean, so I wrote something, I think, last summer about Mike Tomlin after they signed him to his contract.
It's not extension. A personal thing.
No. And I looked it up while you guys were talking about it because I forgot what I wrote.
Yeah.
So since they won the AFC in 2010, they lost to the Packers in the Super Bowl. They're 3-6 in the playoffs. Do you know the three quarterbacks that he's beaten in the postseason in the last decade?
Ryan Tannehill?
No.
Who is the Dolphins guy? They beat a Dolphin team.
They beat Matt Moore.
Okay. Tannehill was hurt, right? The knee?
Yeah. They beat A.J. McCarron, and they beat Alex Smith. Those are the three quarterbacks he's beaten. The quarterbacks he's lost to include Blake Bortles, Tim Tebow, Joe Flacco, and then Peyton Manning in his last year of his career. Like, they haven't really played great teams, and they're unable to win in January.
But they've also had, what, two or three losses to the Patriots in there?
Yeah.
Yeah. His definitely the shine is off. He's never had a losing season in how many years? It was before after that. 07 he took over? 07.
Yes.
That's a long time. I mean, there's a level of good that he gives you. I don't think he's the best coach in the league.
I think there's been over 25 Pro Bowlers on his team, 25 different Pro Bowlers. So, I mean, they've had a ton of talent.
They have. I give him credit for some of that, though. I mean, how many of those guys were really high draft picks? There's been more Antonio Browns. I'm trying to think of other guys they've cultivated, right? It's not like they've never been bad enough to get a top 10 pick in his era.
No, but let me ask you this. Marvin Lewis
was
laughed at for never winning a playoff game.
Mm-hmm.
Mike Tomlin hasn't had a deep playoff run in a decade, but he skates by because he won 15 years ago?
Well, I mean, he did go to the AFC title game, 4 years ago? They lost in Pittsburgh, right? The year that it was Falcons-Patriots. Wasn't the title games Packers at Falcons, Steelers at Pats? It wasn't that long ago.
Maybe. I don't remember. I don't remember that long ago.
Who's the better coach on Sunday, Doug Peterson or Mike Tomlin?
Doug Peterson.
I think so, too. But I'm the bigger Doug guy around here than you are, so I'm surprised you said that. Like, so where do you rank Mike Tomlin? Just off the top of your head.
11, 12. I mean, I'm down on a lot of head coaches.
Yeah, see,
if I were in charge of a lot of front offices, there'd be a lot of head coaches.
Yeah, but you know what? I think we forget about. See, I feel this way about. I think the way I feel about quarterbacks, you feel about coaches. I feel like you could always just get another quarterback. I don't think it's that hard. I think it's easier now than ever to find quarterbacks, just the nature of college football, the nature of getting them in, and the offenses are easier to teach. I think coaches are harder to find. I find that when you have a bad coach, or you think about that Freddie Kitchens thing last year. Freddie Kitchens might be the worst coach I've ever seen. They thought he'd be good.
Like, and they made the right move to get him out of there.
Absolutely. But you're sunk. Like, you could always change the coach, in the middle of a season. You could change it. You could just put the backup in. What do you do if you have a bad coach? The grass isn't always greener.
Fire him and hire Romeo Crennel.
Yeah, see? There you go. The grass is not always greener on the other side. Though I think old Romeo's going to win his first game. You see, he came out in a backwards hat in his press conference?
How many times? Does it feel like he's always the automatic interim head coach?
Well,
I feel like he's done it like four times.
Well, he has. I mean, he's 73 years old. The guy is ancient. 215-592.
You hire Romeo Crennel, you're asking him to be fired midseason. I think that's the lesson here.
That is. But I'm a big Romeo guy. 215-592-9494. That is how you hop in. We'll come back, your phone calls. I want to get into the DeSean Jackson thing. He's not going to play on Sunday. The DeSean Jackson thing bothers me. And the Alshon thing bothers me. Tucker brought up a great point earlier about the roster management here, but I have a feeling on this, and I can't shake it. I'm going to tell you what it is on the other side about those two guys. And tonight, LeBron James goes for a championship as the NBA Finals could end. He could join a club, one of the rarest clubs in all of pro sports right now. The club has just five members. I'll tell you what that is, that LeBron is one win from joining. Coming up next on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.